Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is the Steve Jones Show. It is a Thursday afternoon. Chad Hirschberger sitting in for Sean Carey this afternoon. Glad to be with you on this Thursday. Steve Jones is making his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. And we've got some good guests coming up today right here on the program. So glad you are with us today. It is 3:11 on this Thursday afternoon. And one of our guests coming up, we're going to talk to Audrey Snyder. She is from, I'm refreshing my memory. She's a Penn State football writer for The Athletic, and she is going to be with us coming up later on this hour at 3:35 this afternoon. We're also going to be talking to David Jones. He is the Penn State writer from PennLive.com. You'll recognize both of those names. They are often guests here on the program. And as we said, Steve will be making his way in here to the Sunbury Motors studio momentarily, so we will be happy to talk to him and get the latest on what's going on in the world of sports today. Of course, if you want to follow us, you can follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones Show, and check out our Facebook page as well, and you can get all the latest information that we have on sports on those two places. You can also, if you have questions or would like to get a hold of us, go to the stevejonesshow.com, and there are other ways that you can get a hold of us with email. And you can also call in and talk to Steve too on the show. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-WKOK. Not as breezy today as it was yesterday around the valley, and we are glad of that.
Yeah, we're always glad of that.
It was a little cold yesterday.
Oh, it's going to be 57 on Sunday.
I saw that. That's
Chad, Chad, I'm sitting there, right? And I'm like, oh. Now, I went out yesterday because I have, as I said to my wife, I said, Kath, I said, I'm going to go out and rake. She goes, what? It's 30 degrees. The wind chill's 10. I said, look, I got to do this. I said, every time I look out there, there's this minefield of leaves. Because you got to remember, part of the time, you got to remember I was gone for 9 days because of the extended road trip. So being gone for 9 days, I couldn't get out there and do it. So I'm out there yesterday. I got it done. I saw it's going to be 57 on Sunday. I'm still glad I did it.
Yeah, I got to do that too. The snow came and covered the leaves, and then I couldn't go out and rake. And then I had to get my wheelbarrow fixed, and then I had to get my leaf blower fixed, and that's still in the shop. And I'm like, well, maybe Sunday.
Yeah, you know what? But now I can take Sunday, and I got this done. So I can take Sunday and do what I want to do Sunday. It may be a little bit of work involved, obviously, because there's a The bowl is going to be announced, so there's going to be a press conference for it and things like that, or at least a conference call about it. I will have to do some work. There's no question about that. And then put together Monday's update show off of that, and then another one for basketball, too, because I got a game at Maryland. I've got to do Saturday, which is later than I thought it was going to be. It was supposed to be 5 o'clock originally. And it got switched. It was supposed to be, 12:30, 1 o'clock. It was supposed to be originally, which is really good. Like, earlier the road game, the better. You want to get, hey, we can leave early. Okay, here we go. But when Northwestern made the Big Ten football championship game, they made a request of Penn State and Maryland to switch games so the Northwestern fans can watch the basketball game and then be able to watch the football game. So instead of having Northwestern and Indiana at 5, they flipped and put them in the 1 o'clock spot, and they put Penn State and Maryland in the 5 o'clock spot to accommodate the Northwestern fans. Because it works out really well, because Northwestern's playing at Indiana. So if Northwestern basketball fans want to go and then go to the football game too, they can, which is great. So, you know, so they end up switching. So it's a 5 o'clock game on Saturday. It was interesting. A show, Chad, I don't watch very much. I have maybe seen 7 or 8 minutes total since its inception.
What's that?
And that is the show Get Up on ESPN with Mike Greenberg and Jalen Rose. I guess Michelle Beadle's off the show now. But I got up this morning and I watched a few minutes of it this morning. And it's just because, I got up, I watched the weather, checked that out, and I was just flipping around, and they were talking about the college football playoff. And they were talking about the probability. Now, you know how I feel about the probabilities and stuff. Whatever. Okay? But I said, all right, let's see what they have to say here. And when they were going through it, that if everything stays status quo, in other words, Alabama beats Georgia, Oklahoma beats Texas, Ohio State beats Northwestern, they gave Ohio State a 58% chance of making the playoff. They gave Oklahoma a 33% chance. I put that in the category of, really? Are you kidding me? Wow. I was taken aback by that. I was, in a lot of ways, shocked. I thought it would be the other way around. They would have given them a 58% chance for Oklahoma, 33 for Ohio State. Not so. Not so. I found that interesting. What does it take for Penn State to get to the Peach Bowl? This is what it takes for Penn State to get to the Peach Bowl, in my opinion. Alabama needs to beat Georgia. Okay. And the next one is Oklahoma needs to beat Texas by a small margin. And Ohio State needs to win big over Northwestern. If Ohio State wins big over Northwestern and Oklahoma wins, right? Oklahoma wins. I think if it's narrow, it helps Ohio State. Ohio State then jumps to 4 in the college football playoff. Oklahoma remains 5. They automatically get the Sugar Bowl bid. Michigan then moves to the Rose Bowl bid. That opens the door for Penn State to be in the Peach Bowl. And I'm mentioning that because that happens to be a New Year's Six Bowl. And to me, a New Year's Six designation is exponentially better than anything else. And it has nothing to do about what money you get. That doesn't really matter. That's irrelevant because they split the money evenly in the Big Ten anyway. So it's just, Penn State getting there would help everybody in the conference, including Penn State. Because there'd be more money getting a third team in. And you can have as many teams in the New Year's Six as possible. You can have as many as you want. There's no, a lot of people don't get the rules. That's why doing shows like this, it helps. You can be informative. You can give people an idea what the rules are, what the regulations are, why certain things happen, why certain things won't happen, because there's a lot of wrong information out there. Part of it is the old way of doing things, which I get. Part of it's guesswork. Part of it's assumption. And, so you try to do the best you can on shows such as these to make sure you have the right information. You pass along the right information. That way, the audience is better informed. So when it comes to the New Year's Six, there is no limit on the number of teams you can have from a conference in the New Year's Six. Now, there's a realistic number. I mean, let's go back to 2016. There were four Big Ten teams in the New Year's Six. I mean, there are four of them in there. I want to say Michigan was in the Orange Bowl, Ohio State. I'm trying to think. Ohio State was in the college football playoff. I think Michigan was, I want to say, in the Orange Bowl. Wisconsin was the Cotton Bowl. Penn State was in the Rose Bowl. So you have four teams in. So you can do that. Not an issue. We have a lot going on in today's show. Audrey Snyder from The Athletic is going to join us today. Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern football on the Big Ten Championship game, will join us. Dave Jones, Patriot News, will join us. Tomorrow on the show, Don Marcus of the Baltimore Sun is going to join us on the show. We're going to have Ivan Mazel of ESPN on the show tomorrow. And also we're going to have Jeff Byers on tomorrow early to preview Penn State Bucknell Wrestling. So Jeff Byers is going to be on the show tomorrow too. We'll probably try and get Jeff into the early segment, the 3 o'clock segment tomorrow if we can. So there we are. I mean, we are active.
SMC is where you want to be for your next...
Okay. That's okay. We're brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And you know what? That's a good hint. We should take a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150. And everything starting with E. Make 2018 a November to remember with savings up to $13,000 on your next new Ford F-150. Sunbury Motors has F-150s starting at $25,669. All SUVs with the letter E will plummet in price for SMC's November to Remember. 67 Ford Escapes, 23 Echo Sports, 22 Explorers, all at one location. Brand new Ford Escapes starting at an unheard of $17,820. If you haven't looked into the all-new Ford Echo Sport, now is the time. 2019 Ford Echo Sports start at $19,880. SMC has the SUV that started it all, the Ford Explorer, for under $32,000. Hurry in now to SMC so you can show off your brand new Ford at your holiday dinner or to the buddies at Deer Camp. Sunbury Motors, in the 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Thursday, Audrey Snyder coming up at 3:35. Dave Jones, Patriot News, will join us in the last half hour. Dave Ennett, Northwestern football play-by-play voice, is going to join us at 4:06. Tomorrow's show will include Jeff Byers on the show tomorrow, and also Don Marcus, Baltimore's son, and Ivan Mazel, ESPN, plus the Kings on tomorrow. We have lots and lots of guests coming on tomorrow. We have our picks coming up. No one distinguished themselves with any sort of picking dignity last week. How bad was it? Oh, everybody was 2-4. That's how bad it was last week. So if you listened to this show and said, you know what? I think we'll just... We didn't help you at all. Unless you picked against us. Now, do we have a caller here, Chad? Or is it no, yes, no, maybe?
No, we had some technical problems over here. We're trying to figure out.
Oh, just hit it on the side. Don't worry about it.
The suit's taking care of it. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so we're going to have this problem the rest of the show. All right, just make certain assumptions. He just rolled his eyes. I can't believe this. By the way, I just want to tell the suit, since he's listening, I've heard some of the commercials. The acting lessons have really paid off. It just seems so genuine. All right. I'm really, really happy for you. Hey, makes me want to go to the tree farm. All right, so.
By the way, I tried hitting it in the side. It didn't work. It just hurt my hand.
Once again, Chad, you told me my plan wouldn't work. I said, Chad, I could tell you if I say this, he'll do it and he'll hurt his hand. He goes, no, that won't happen. You owe me 10, Chad. Next Wednesday, holiday party, pay up.
I'll bring my wallet.
So I found that intriguing that when it came to the college football playoff, and again, they do all these metric predictors and so forth, which is just not, it's not my bag. But it's not like I don't find them interesting. It's just not my deal. But this one came out, and I looked at it, and I thought, wow, I wonder how they came to that conclusion that Ohio State had a 58% chance of getting in, Oklahoma had a 33% chance. Like, okay, guess we're going to have to all watch and see how it plays out. But that's amazing, if true. All those years of the BCS, they had all of those computer models and things like that, and the computer says this, and the computer says that. It's like, first of all, human beings are the ones that do feed the information into the computer. It can give you hints and examples, but no. It's just, no. Not a buyer. The computer's going to help. I mean, obviously, I've got computer numbers on my stat sheets all the time, football and basketball. So I've got computer breakouts, the analytics that I have there. You try to be careful about your usage of them. Just because you have it doesn't mean you have to use it. I've told my class once, I've told them 100 times, whether I'm doing a football, basketball, or baseball game, I have more access to information than any time in my career by a wide margin. And I probably, of all the information I put down on my charts, I probably use 1 to 2% of it every game. But why do I have so much of it if I'm only using 1 to 2%? Because you don't know which 1 to 2% you're going to use in a broadcast. And you have to pick your spot. Early in my career, I freely admit, early in my career, because you're trying to show how smart you are, you're trying to show how prepared you are, whatever. It's part of the immaturity of growing into a job. Well, I mean, I'd be back there, I'd be doing games in the 80s, and I'm like, oh, this stat, that stat, this stat, that stat. Because you're trying to show everybody you know what you're talking about. And as time goes, you start realizing, hey, look, just throw in what's important. All right? Now, maybe that's because at some point in your career, you sit back and go, all right, you know what? Let's be smart about this. You don't feel like you have to prove to everybody in the face of the earth you know what you're doing or you're talking about. But early in my career, you know, and I'm going back 35 years or whatever, hey, you name the stat, I threw it in there. Did you want to show everybody you know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about, you know, I'm really, really prepared. Now you realize later on in life, you just pick what's relevant. Great to have you with us. Audrey Snyder, The Athletic, next half hour. We're brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up in the next half hour will be Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern football. Final half hour, David Jones, PatriotNewsPennLive.com. Tomorrow, Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling to preview Penn State Bucknell at Soika. Also tomorrow, Don Marcus, Baltimore Sun. And Ivan Maisel, ESPN, on the show tomorrow as well. Very pleased to join from The Athletic, Audrey Snyder. Audrey, welcome back. It is always great to hear from you.
Always good to be here, Steve. We made it to the end of the regular season.
Somehow found the finish line in the regular season. Far from done yet. So let's get to Saturday. Saturday will bring with it several intriguing games, including Ohio State, Northwestern. along with, obviously, Texas and Oklahoma. Those would be two of the games that Penn State fans will be locked in on. Then there's Alabama, Georgia. What do you see on Saturday? What intrigues you most of all?
You know, it might be the can anyone get close to Alabama game, and I don't think it'll happen with Georgia, but I just want to see, as you know, Steve, doing these jobs, we usually only see snippets of games because we're working, so to actually have a Saturday where we can sit on the couch, watch games like everybody else, I want to see Tua play a little bit more, you know, I want to see Alabama and those sorts of things. So for me, it's just a matter of, hey, let's watch these games just as fans of the sport in general, which we don't get to do very often.
Which we don't. There's no question about that because we're locked in doing the game that's in front of us at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go through each team. When you have seen Alabama, what has struck you about Alabama?
Well, it's got to be the dominance, Steve. I mean, it's what they do. It's the fact that you look at this team and, I mean, nobody's gotten close to them. I mean, it's so remarkable. And, you know, you're going to have the Heisman ceremony coming up here in a few weeks, and you look at everything that Tua's been able to do in his numbers, and it's just remarkable. Whenever you think, you know, okay, what's this team going to look like? How are they going to continue to fill spots? They do it time and time again. So for me, that's just a super, super impressive program. And whether or not anybody can even get within striking distance of them, it just seems all season long, it is Alabama, and then everybody else is a, you know, a distant two through whatever else, you know.
I will freely admit that the team I have seen the least of this year, and I've only seen maybe a few plays, is Georgia. How much of Georgia have you watched this year?
Very little, Steve. I think, honestly, if it's been more than a handful of plays, I'll be surprised. I mean, it's whatever is, seeing it live, of course, whatever is on in the press box before games, after games, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I haven't seen a whole heck of a lot of them. I mean, I remember a lot about DeAndre Swift's recruitment and how he was here at camp and Penn State wanted him and that kind of thing. But, yeah, actually seeing football in that regard, not much of them.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of them at all. Obviously, you know, they have the advantage here of proximity with the game, which is where it was last year, too, with Alabama. Clemson has Pitt. Obviously, we've seen Pitt, but that was months ago. Clemson's the prohibitive favorite. Is there anything that changes your mind about that?
I don't think so. I mean, you look at what happened with Pitt against Miami last weekend, and I can't see Pitt even keeping this game close in any way, shape, or form. Now, of course, like you said, this isn't the same Pitt team that Penn State fans saw week two, but against Clemson, Steve, I'm not seeing it.
No, and I agree with you. I'm not seeing it either. I know a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, Pitt won at Clemson. I think that automatically gives Clemson the advantage this time of, okay, we get it. You can play with us. That brings with it the next one, Texas-Oklahoma rematch. I'm never intrigued with rematches. What about this one?
Oh, you have to love this one, Steve. I mean, to me, this is probably going to be the most intriguing game of the day. I mean, not to take anything away from the Big Ten title game that we all probably expect to be a runaway for the Buckeyes. But I just think, you know, I want to see all the high scoring. I want to see all the fireworks. And to me, that's, you know, something that fans should take in. They should savor. Because like you said, you see so many of these games that, you know, you can look at this weekend a few different ways. Obviously, for Penn State, it's a matter of, okay, what needs to happen for them to get help, you know, to try and get into the New Year's Six game, which that path to me is so muddled, I don't see that happening. But looking at these kinds of games, you see a game like this, which I think is going to be fantastic, which kind of makes up for some of the other games, like we mentioned, you know, the Pitt-Clemson game, of course, Ohio State-Northwestern, games that I just don't think are going to be too great or super competitive.
Right, and if what scenario, in your opinion, opens the door for Penn State to get to the Peach Bowl?
It's got to be a lot. I think it's a combination of things, and one of those is they need Alabama to lose. I think that helps them out. I'm hard-pressed to see Ohio State getting into the playoff. I mean, they're going to have to run Northwestern out of the gym, which they might, and even then I just don't think it's going to be enough, Steve, because when the committee looks at this Ohio State team, it's really just been a bizarre year for them, and I think that's been so many of these teams, though. You know, they can look super dominant one week, and then you see them the next week, and it's like, oh my gosh, what happened? I mean, it's just been that weird of a year, I feel like, all throughout college football for everyone else not named Alabama. So certainly Penn State is going to need a lot of help for that to happen, Steve, which I don't think everything's going to break their way. So I think they're going to be on that bubble, but more so heading to the Citrus Bowl is my guess, which, again, they still have a shot at a 10-win season, which, you know, anywhere in that 9-10-win margin is where most people thought this team would be anyhow.
Yeah. I have a little bit of doubt. I don't think it matters if Alabama beats Georgia. And the reason I think if I'm sorry, if Georgia beats Alabama, here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. The SEC will get the team into the Sugar Bowl anyway. So they'll get a team in. I think that, you know, obviously if Alabama and Georgia are both in, it opens the door. But Georgia would still get the Sugar Bowl bid out of it at minimum. Then I think it becomes a domino as to what teams you actually do want someplace. I think Ohio State getting to the playoffs is the hugest, the biggest part of this, because then it opens the door for Michigan to go to the Rose Bowl, which then opens up the door for an at-large.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be Penn State's path, Steve. That has to be what happens. But, yeah, definitely tough sledding, but it's going to make the scoreboard watching, you know, all that more fun anyway, because fans are always clinging out. I mean, I do this with the NFL. You run through every possible playoff scenario, and then you just get addicted to it, regardless of how, you know, of how far off the hopes might be.
Right, exactly. How did you evaluate the final 3 weeks of the season after Penn State lost that one at Michigan?
It was interesting. I think you see what they did against Maryland. To me, that was a complete game for Penn State. That was the best possible note they could have ended the regular season on, both for this program, but really especially for that senior class. Against Rutgers, Steve, this was a game that, I mean, it never felt close for Rutgers, but certainly Penn State let them hang around way too long. I couldn't close them out. So, you know, I think what we've seen this year from Penn State is this is a defense that made tremendous strides. It's also a defense that I think has the potential. Now we'll have to see what happens draft-wise with draft-eligible guys and those sorts of things. But I think this defense has the potential to be really good next year, should they maintain the majority of their key pieces. But getting that offense back on track, even with it being against Maryland, was such a big win for Penn State, because this offense has really struggled this year. It's been inconsistent. But to see them, you know, be able to sustain drives but also have success with those shot plays, it looked like McSorley was healthy, certainly more healthy than he's been in previous weeks. And now with, you know, a month to rest up until the bowl game, it's a really big opportunity for Penn State to continue building on what they've done so far, but also to look at some of these younger pieces, because you never know with draft-eligible guys on both sides of the ball what way they're going to go and those sorts of things. So Penn State will continue to look at, you know, what are the options behind some of these guys and really make sure those guys get an extended look here in the run-up to wherever they're heading in late December, early January.
What kind of foundation was set down the stretch that can be a foundation to build upon for 2019, in your opinion?
You know, I think there were a lot of good things. And one of those, of course, the most obvious is Mike Parsons taking on a bigger role. That's going to be a huge piece of this team moving forward. You know, you'd start to see Jonathan Sutherland in there more at safety, which you look next year and you say, okay, who's going to be that guy filling in for Nick Scott? Is it going to be Lamont Wade? Are they going to feel good enough that they can have, you know, Sutherland move around back there and be with Garrett Taylor? So I think those are certainly guys. Eforvers Mathos all year, Steve, was just exceeding expectations. I mean, this guy, 20 tackles for loss, 3.5 tackles for loss in the regular season finale. I mean, this is, I think we're seeing kind of the makings of a big-time player happening right before our eyes. So certainly he's going to be a key piece. And then on the other side of the ball, Penn State was able to work in Ricky Slade down the stretch more. So that's, you know, to me, he's going to be a guy who's going to have a lot of intrigue, because whatever Miles Sanders decides, which that in itself is an interesting debate, being a draft-eligible guy and what he wants to do. You've got to figure that out. And I think the piece that maybe fans forget about because he's has to, you know, sit out this year after transferring from Notre Dame is C.J. Holmes. I mean, where does this guy factor into the backfield, too, moving forward, whether Sanders is here or he isn't here? So I think there's a lot to like. You've seen the receiving core, you know, have a youth movement, but have some success with that, too. So all in all, Steve, a lot of young key pieces on this team that are still going to be around regardless.
Okay, Audrey, back to the big picture for the weekend. Do you like four, or, you know, everyone talks about eventually going to eight. Would you prefer eight?
You're never going to please everybody, right? I mean, I think if you expand to eight, people are going to say, oh, we want 10, we want 12, we want 16. Keep it at four. You know, I'm not one of these people. I know some people get really up in arms over this thing, and especially after Penn State was left out a few years ago. I understand that anger. But I'm cool with four. You know, I think it's, especially as we saw this year, with so many teams having flaws, like how flawed do you want this system to be? Do you want it that you can have multiple slip-ups throughout the year and still get into the playoff? I mean, I think that's kind of where the thought process comes into play. But I'm cool with four, Steve. Are you okay with it?
I've always been okay with four. I always have been okay with four. I know the inevitable is eight. I mean, I do accept that there is an inevitable that within 5 years, you know, there's going to be eight. There's just something in me that just tells me that. And let me give you a scenario this year as to why I think that some people might lean in that direction. Because I'm with you. I like four.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if Georgia beats Alabama? Okay. Clemson does what it's supposed to do. They win. Notre Dame's idle and not going anywhere. So you could have Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame. What don't you have? You don't have a Big 12 team. You don't have a Big 10 team. You don't have a Pac-12 team. Now you start to get into that territory of like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, three of the five power conferences don't have a team in this thing? That's where I think, you know, and then there'll be the other factor too. You know this, Audrey. There'll be some point where somebody says, you know, if we go to eight, we could get a lot more money.
The almighty dollar.
Yeah. All right. But here's what I don't want to see. Your opinion on this. I know I'm pontificating here for the moment. But it is still a university. Players have to still continue on a path toward a degree because the vast majority of them are going to need it. Mm-hmm. And finals happen at universities in December. I would take this weekend with eight. And make it a quarterfinal weekend, then come back on the 29th or whatever the date may be, play the semifinals, then have the final. That way you're not dramatically changing the season, and you're also not dramatically changing the academic part of it.
That's an interesting thought, Steve. I guess what would happen if you're at a school that's on like a quarter system, though? You know, like I don't know how that would impact it, right? Because that's always one of the advantages if you're...
Yeah.
I believe Oregon does quarters and those kinds of things.
Ohio State used to be, as a matter of fact, Audrey. Ohio State used to be. Then they switched the semesters three, four, 5 years ago. They used to be they didn't start school till mid-September, which meant they were only doing football, the non-conference part of the season.
Right. I mean, that's my point. Like, it's such an advantage when you look at some of these schools that do that. And I want to say Oregon is one of them because when they do those sorts of things, I mean, and that's, I'm sure, part of the recruiting pitch to a lot of kids is, hey, you know, you can essentially be a pro football player for the first 3-4 weeks of the year. I mean, that would, especially from you look at the model you proposed from a momentum standpoint, I think you'd be drumming this thing up for like, you know, three weeks or so between games, which would certainly be huge. That's an interesting theory, Steve. That way you're getting, you know, you're getting more people represented, you're making more money, certainly. How you do that with the current setup, given the whole academic side of things, is really interesting. And don't forget, now with this whole early signing period, you've got coaches all over the place. So then you'd have to throw that, kind of blow that model up too. There's a lot of moving parts.
Excellent point about the recruiting part with the early signing date, which this year is December 19th, because, yes, coaches do have to get out and do that too. I also don't want to see them warping more toward the NFL and having a 16-game season when it's all said and done. I don't want that. These are college players. These are not grown men, adults at the age of 28, 29, 30 playing a 16-game season plus four preseason games.
Yeah, that to me would be brutal. I mean, that would be way too much. I think, you know, you just look at the format now, and you're adding, of course, the conference title games and those sorts of things, but yeah. It's a long season as is, and for kids coming from high school ball, it's a big adjustment, Steve, no doubt about it. So I think you can't toy with the maximum number of games really beyond that 13, 14 mark is really, really a stretch.
Audrey, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time, and we appreciate it very much.
Absolutely, Steve. Take care.
Audrey Snyder, The Athletic. Next half hour, we'll talk with Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern football, as they get ready for the championship game of the Big Ten Saturday night when Northwestern takes on Ohio State, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So I go over and I check out CBSSports.com, which, by the way, is a very good site. It is a very good site. But you know how I feel about deceiving headlines in order to get clicks. I hate that. Okay? Tiger recovers for strong finish in round one in Bahamas tournament. So I click on the story. There are, 18 players total in this Bahamas tournament. You do know that, right? They're only 18. He's in last place. All right? He is, right now, six shots back of the lead. That doesn't mean he can't win. He's only six shots back, and, it's only an 18-man field, so you don't have as many people to leapfrog to get there. Tiger rebounds with strong finish in Bahamas. Okay, let's see. Cantlay, Nora, Bubba Watson, Henrik Stenson, Reed, Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, John Rahm, Keegan Bradley, Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau, Tony Finau, Gary Woodland, Xander Schauffele, Ricky Fowler, Jason Day, Hideki Matsuyama. Ah, there we go. I found Tiger Woods. Yeah, the very last one. All right, so, what are we doing?
But you clicked the story, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, because I was like, okay, well, how well did he do? Well, he's in last. He's in last place. I'm sorry. You got me to click, I got it. But I'm like, oh, well, are you kidding me? I think it's embarrassing. That's your story? Come on. It's embarrassing. Oh, well.
Hey, Steve, I was thinking on the drive down today, since I get to be on your show today, other than Talk to Santa, I've been on every program at WKOK this week.
Wow. How about that?
Filled in on Sunrise for Mark, and I did the Late Day News Roundup yesterday, and I'm on your show today, so didn't get to do Talk to Santa. I filled in on Talk to Santa before, but not this week.
The Magic Radio is in high gear. This is night four.
I was listening the other day. Did you figure out how many years it's been? I know you were talking with Chris.
Oh, there isn't a single person here that has the ability to answer the question. I've only been here 7 years, okay? So, there are people that have been there longer that, they're too busy putting out fires or something to actually answer a simple question. So, what the heck? Yeah. So, no, I get no answer. I get nothing.
Well, I think we can safely say for 8 decades.
Oh, we know it's 8 decades. I just didn't know if it was 81 or 82 years. So that part we have.
My kids are going to be on the 17th of December, so that'll be fun.
Are they really?
Yep.
Oh, that's really cool. On that Monday night, that is great. Oh, I can't wait to hear what their experience is like. That is really cool.
I forget how many years for my daughter. This is my son's, I think, third year. So
they must love it.
They do.
Well, I'd love to see the look on their faces as they talk to Santa and the Magic Radio. Ah, that's what makes the medium so much fun. All right, next half hour, Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern football, as we preview the Big Ten football championship game.